The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dr. Steve Pettirudi. I'm here with Shannon. Good morning, Shannon. And I've got Nick behind the glass. Hey, Nick, how are you doing? Well, you know, folks, intellectual medicine requires a few elements. It requires a freedom of thought. Without that, you have no capacity to form opinion and take decisions on how best to manage your care or the care of your children. Freedom of thought is a God-given right. It's endowed to all of us. It simply is a matter of us embracing our own internal potential. And thank God for the internet, because now you can combine your freedom of thought with your own intellect to acquire knowledge, to apply it to aspects of your life. At Intellectual Medicine, we advocate the 120-year lifespan. We believe it's achievable through thoughtful application of current science. There are some other elements, however, that are necessary to practice an intellectual lifestyle and intellectual medicine. Now, today we are going to be talking about the mandate for the HPV. Many of you don't know what that is. Some of you do. We're going to educate a little bit. But it all ties into this concept of freedom. You have to have freedom of thought, freedom of speech, and freedom of action. In a totalitarianism drift, your freedom of speech can be compromised if your speech is deemed to be inappropriate, not mainstream, or not widely endorsed by the majority. Your freedom of action can be compromised whenever you are forced to do something. Now, there are times where our freedom of action is necessarily compromised because of national catastrophe or emergency. We call that martial law. When the government declares we are doing away with due process and civil liberties because there's a threat to the national security that is so acute that we have to have, in essence, a dictatorial style of government, at least temporarily. When the Department of Health declares an immunization to be a mandate, that is a requirement, you must get it. It is the equivalent of a martial law dynamic. They're taking away freedom in order to impose a healthcare prerogative that they believe is so acute, so dangerous, of such urgent need, that if they don't take action, suffering will ensue, perhaps even death. Now, take that as the core element of what we're going to be talking about. With regard to the state telling you what drug you must take, there needs to be a high threshold to be cleared. If the state is going to knock on my door, I'm going to answer that door, and they're going to say, roll up your sleeve, Steve, I'm giving you a shot. That damn well better be of acute urgency. There better be an epidemic sweeping the nation that I am willing to subjugate my freedom in order to help the greater good. So that is the core element that I have when it comes to the mandate, the requirement for the HPV. Now, Nick, you're a really bright guy. I would consider a bright guy. And Shannon, you're a bright person as well. Now, Nick, you're a highly educated individual. Nick's behind the glass, and I'm going to pick on him just a tad, Nick. Just bear with me. Have you ever heard of HPV? Do you know what that is?
I have heard of it before, but I'm honestly not sure what it is, no.
Okay, and are you aware that young men are being required to get a shot to protect them against HPV?
No, not at all.
All right. So there are two facts that I think merge together. A highly educated and intelligent individual is deprived of the opportunity to learn about something prior to having to receive it. Why? Why? What is the urgency? HPV, the human papillomavirus, is the virus that causes warts. If they're on your genitals, they're called venereal warts. They're unpleasant and nobody wants them, but they're hardly a healthcare crisis. Now, there's an immunization that was developed. When did they develop that, Shan? in 2006. And the immunization has a noble objective. And the objective is to try to make you resilient against this wart, some strains of which can increase your risk of developing cervical cancer. Now, here we are, Anatomy 101. The cervix is that part of the anatomy that is attached to the uterus or the womb. Now, even if you're not highly enlightened, you can surmise that most men do not have a cervix or a womb. Okay, so keep these facts in line. Despite the absence of a cervix or a womb on the part of men, they are being required to receive this drug, this shot, by the state of Rhode Island. Rather than educate the public, rather than give parents the freedom of a choice, they have taken that away and they are forcing it by mandate. Your child cannot matriculate into what grade is it, Chan?
Seventh
grade without having had this shot. Never mind what you think about it, whether or not you think it's any good for them. It's the essence of the requirement, the mandate, the stripping away of freedom that those of us who are opposed to this mandate are most upset by. It's not the essence of immunization itself. Immunizations can be a powerful tool in fighting disease. Let's make no mistake about it. But there's a leap of faith when you go from an immunization that you choose to get by virtue of your own intellectual process to one that is forced upon you for a disease threat that is almost non-existent, at least for men it is. Now let's turn it to women. HPV can contribute to cervical cancer, which is a horrible disease. However, there are other means of preventing cervical cancer. What's the common means of preventing cervical cancer nowadays, Shen?
Getting regular pap smears.
Regular pap smears. They've been proven effective. In fact, if you get regular pap smears, your odds of dying from cervical cancer plummet. Now, an interesting thing happens. So here, the state of Rhode Island says, you must get this shot. And women are being forced to get it when they enter seventh grade. There's something called the law of unintended consequence, or false comfort. So now, fast forward, it's 10 years later, that seventh grade girl is now a young woman. She goes to a doctor, and the doctor says, it's time for your annual pap smear. And she says, I don't need it. I got the shot. We have the possibility of breeding an entire generation of young women who are going to be neglecting the basic, proven, and essential aspect of a pap smear. Now, Shan, you've borne witness to that. You were at Planned Parenthood. Tell us about that.
I was. 7 weeks. I can, you know, count how many women we said, hey, okay, great. You know, you're here. Let's do a pap smear. Nope, I don't need it. I'm all set. I don't have to get it.
Why do they think they didn't need to get it?
Because they got the shot. They said, you know, I got that thing, you know, back in middle school. And, you know, now I won't get cervical cancer. That's what they told me.
And could you talk them into getting a pap smear?
No.
You see, folks, that is the law of unintended consequences in full bloom. Ironically, in an attempt to try to prevent future cervical cancer, this mandate could have exactly the opposite effect. When you steamroll free will by public mandates, you eliminate intellectual processes. We're going to be hearing from Amy from the No HPV Mandate Rhode Island. This mandate was jammed down the throats of Rhode Islanders without due process. There was no vote on this issue, folks. Nobody asked your opinion. They didn't ask mine. They simply made it a mandate by fiat. That is how totalitarianism works. They don't need opinions. They simply dictate. Now, they rolled this out in August when everybody was on vacation, and all you care about is getting your kid in clothes and ready to go to school, and all of a sudden, here's yet another shot? Well, they're lumping it in with all the other ones, some of which are essential and good, and this process is a process that we are vigorously opposed to as free Americans. We want intellectual medicine. We don't want dogma medicine. So whether or not the science behind the immunization is credible is a separate argument. And we will talk about that a bit. But the way in which it was imposed is the thing that should gall every Rhode Islander. I'll be back. I'm Dr. Pedrutti. This is Intellectual Medicine. You know, folks, great choice. Great choice of music, by the way. Suppose there were a drug that would guarantee you'd have good health. You know, I'd be tempted to take it, but suppose the government forced it on me. There's a knock on the door. Hello, Steve Pederuti. We're here from the government. And they have their uniforms on, and they have a clipboard, and they say, you are required by order of the Burgermeister Meisterburger to take this pill. I say, what pill? It doesn't matter. It's a requirement. Open your mouth. I don't want the pill. We have ways of making you take the pill. So now the Department of Health makes it a mandate. A mandate. That's a requirement, folks. There is no recourse. You can't vote them out of office. It is a bureaucratic dictatorship. Here comes the mandate. Well, they give you a religious exemption, don't they? What religion is against getting an immunization?
We were just talking about that.
I'm not a religious expert, but I'm unaware of the 11th commandment that says, thou shalt not immunize. So they give this goofy religious exemption simply to take the venom out of those who are opposed to it, and they make it very easy for you to avoid getting the shot. Stay tuned, folks. First, they take your freedom away with a mandate. Then they turn the screws, and you watch year to year, they're going to make it harder and harder to avoid this required immunization. They're putting pressure on doctors. They are scrutinizing their practices. They are monitoring how many of their patients get the shot. And the next thing they're going to do is push to do away with the religious exemption. Mark my words. Now, online is Amy from the No HPV Rhode Island Mandate. Amy is a patriotic Rhode Islander who is fighting for our freedoms and is looking at ways to reverse this unasked for, unwanted imposition on our freedoms. So with that somewhat biased introduction, good morning, Amy. How are you today?
Good morning. Great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was hoping that you could bring me out of my shell here so that I could really express how I feel. But you know what, Amy, I want to emphasize this to our listeners. You know, I'm a physician. I get my flu shot every year. That's my choice. In fact, I think it's a duty because I could be a vector and infect others. Now, I want to separate in the minds of our listeners the issue of freedom of choice from that of the science and value of the immunization. And Amy, I do think, you know, we should talk about both. But
okay.
But the issue at hand, the one that galls me and those with whom I speak, is the idea that this is being forced. Tell me what's happening out there in schools, on the street. Didn't this take people by surprise, Amy? It seems like most folks are unaware what the hell's going on.
Yeah, the summer of 2015 is when it really came like a wave through the ocean of this sudden influx of what the heck, because the schools sent home letters that summer to the students going into seventh grade, telling them that it has to be done in order to go to school. And the letters did not mention the religious exemption. So people didn't even know that that was an option in the state of Rhode Island, many of them. And it was an uproar because even if you are diagnosed with HPV, you cannot impact the classroom.
Right. So let me pick up on that just to reassure people. The number of school days lost to cervical cancer from K through grade 12, I believe, to be zero. Cervical cancer, as horrible a disease as it is not communicable through the air. You cannot cough and give it to someone else. It is transmitted only by sexual contact, as best we know. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, it's only contacted by some form of sexual contact.
Okay. And we have do we have a technical problem, Shan?
Yeah, if they can't hear me.
Yeah, if they can't hear me on your Facebook Live, it's because I'm not sitting next to you.
Oh, okay, but they can hear the radio. Okay.
Okay.
All right, we're going to carry on, and those watching Facebook Live are just going to have to surmise, I guess. But anyhow, we were just talking about the fact that cervical cancer and HPV, that is the venereal wart that can increase its risk, is really not a hazard to grade school kids. They are giving this shot on the hope, and it's only a hope, that they'll reduce cervical cancer when these children become adults. Now, Shannon, at what age do they start screening adults for the human papillomavirus during their exam? What were you taught?
Not until 30.
All All right, so here we go, Amy. You get a shot when you're how old? How old are these kids in seventh grade?
11 and 12.
When you get a shot when you're 11 or 12 on the hope that when you are 30, it will still be working. We don't know that to be a fact because it hasn't been around that long. And on the hope that it will help reduce the risk of cervical cancer. And Amy, I don't know if you heard our lead-in segment, but we were talking about the unintended consequence and the false comfort that women are going to take with them going forward.
Another part that it doesn't seem to be portrayed so well is that HPV, although it can lead to things, there is over 100 strands of it, and the vaccine only covers 9.
Not only that, but the vaccines and, I mean, viruses are known to mutate. And we don't know for sure that the type of HPVs that are contributing to cancer today will be the same ones that will contribute to it in 20 years from now. Much like a flu shot, there can be immunologic drift. So there's a host of problems with this agent when it comes to its purported benefit. And despite that, somehow, in their infinite wisdom, it was felt necessary to make it a requirement. How did that happen?
Well, unfortunately, in our state, many decades ago, the General Assembly gave the Rhode Island Department of Health the authority to mandate vaccines without any oversight.
So the Department of Health has the freedom to mandate any vaccine it wants without accountability to the Rhode Island legislature or the people of Rhode Island?
Correct.
Is that the way it is in other states?
New Hampshire also has that authority, and it is the only state in the country.
New Hampshire and Rhode Island are the only two states where the state legislature basically passed the buck and punted it over to the Department of Health. Is that the case?
Yeah. Yep. Every All other right. state, it has to be written into a bill and voted upon.
So how and why, based upon, do you have any information about what was going on in the minds of our leaders at the Department of Health that made them feel like this shot was the one that had to be forced on us?
Well, in our state, the track record is just about every single shot that the CDC recommends gets mandated in the state of Rhode Island. I do find it awfully coincidental that this was signed into law or into policy, whatever that right word would be, in 2014. And in 2014, the Rhode Island Department of Health received a federal HPV vaccine grant. So mind you, this grant was specifically for the HPV vaccine for $638,000.
So in 2014, the same year that the mandate was coming down the pike, somebody wrote a check for HPV for $640,000 and gave it to the state of Rhode Island. What was that check for?
Not the vaccine itself. There's the breakdown lines of the grant are approximately $27,000 for personnel fringe benefits, approximately $57,000 to $60,000 for salary directly related to the HPV vaccine. And then you have things like $108,000 for software. Well, look a little closer. That software is the KidsNet software that we already have in Rhode Island. So there's a $108,000 line item for a grant for software we already have.
So there's a lot of money out there that's not specifically targeted. Now, I know the company that was I know of the company that's manufacturing the HPV. And what's the name of the company again?
Merck.
It's Merck. And I know that this immunization was not doing well. It was a business flop. And that if Rhode Island's mandate takes hold and spreads to other parts of the country, this drug will go from being a flop to being a billion-dollar blockbuster. Isn't that about right?
Yes, it's a three-part series that costs approximately $140 per shot.
Right.
So it is the most expensive immunization, and it was not picking up speed. People were choosing it risk versus benefit. It wasn't for them.
So but at $140, that was per shot, Amy?
Per shot, right.
$140 per shot, a three-shot series. The people were deciding, hey, this isn't worth the money. And insurance companies were deciding this isn't worth the money. And many were choosing not to pay for it. So there's a rescue moment by the Department of Health to Merck, throwing them a life raft with a multi-million dollar contract. I want to hold that thought for a minute, Amy. Can you stay with us a while longer after we go to break?
Yeah, of course.
Fantastic. All right. Well, listen, folks, stay with us. Up next is Doug Lozette in the Seascape News Center. I'm Dr. Pedrudi. This is WPRO.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM. WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pedrudi. Join Dr. Pedrudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pedrudi.
Hello, everybody. I'm back. Online is Amy from the No HP Mandate, Rhode Island. Amy will be talking more about how you can get engaged. And folks, we do want to make it available if you have questions or stories you want to share with us regarding how this mandate has affected you, your children, or your life. Please feel free to call in. What's the number, Shan?
It is 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
Now, Amy was just explaining to us about the money trail, if you will, the fact that Rhode Island happened to get an over half a million dollar lump sum of cash to advocate for the HPV immunization, and that surprisingly, we subsequently made it a requirement that this immunization manufactured by Merck was a financial loser until Rhode Island rescued them, and are now the company's banking on other states picking it up. Now, we've been talking a lot about freedom, and I think that's a core issue, Amy, but I do want to share with our listeners a personal story. Shan, if you don't mind.
So our son, Ethan, was 12, going into seventh grade, and I was at his regular annual appointment, and the pediatrician brought it up. And my first instinct was no, and then I thought, you know, he's had his immunizations, and I don't know, don't be like that. I didn't want to, you know, be...
You don't want to be oppositional. Well,
yeah, it wasn't oppositional. It was just, you know, I believe in vaccines. I've seen, you know, what they can do. So he got it, and I had that instinct. Just, I felt horrible, went home, read everything I could about it, felt worse after that, and thought, okay, don't, you know, don't do this. 7 days later, I get a call from his school nurse that he has a bad headache, 6 out of 10, which is odd because he never has headaches. Gave him some Motrin. He goes back to school. Hour later, I get another call. His headache is 10 out of a 10. And he lost the vision in his left eye. We go to the pediatrician. His neuro exam is abnormal. We need to go to the ER.
Right. So if we pick up from there, goes to the ER. They do a CAT scan of his brain. They think he has a tumor. We're in a panic. And Shannon looks at them and says, do you think it could be from the immunization? Here's a kid, never had a headache in his life, never had a neurological problem in his life, loses vision in the eye. What do they tell you?
Nope, it's a migraine.
It's a migraine. Never had a migraine before or since. They weren't even willing to contemplate the possibility. And then you ask them to report it to, what's that thing you report to?
VARS.
What is VARS?
It's a vaccination, I wish I knew the name, reporting system where they report all the adverse
so
effects.
So if there's an adverse event, you can report it and they will, what, they'll investigate it.
Right, they said.
So you ask the doctor to report it, what'd they say?
They won't because they don't believe it has anything to do with it.
Doesn't that become a form of editing that eliminates the possibility of investigating adverse consequence? They didn't report it, but you did, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
And they've been researching that, haven't they?
They have for like 3 years.
I think they're researching it with the same vigor that O.J. Simpson is looking for the real killer.
I'm waiting for that phone call.
So, Amy, that's our experience with regard to the consequence of this. What are you hearing and seeing out there?
Oh, yeah. That is definitely the same. Actually, I know of two particular people, one from Southern Massachusetts and one from Rhode Island, that had much more severe reactions with their children after getting the HPV vaccine. And they went to the doctors, and they actually ended up switching between approximately 8 different kinds of specialists and doctors to end up trying to find a diagnosis.
Wow.
And along the way were dismissed of the fact that it could be related to the HPV vaccine.
What was their symptom? What happened to them, these two kids with the bad effect?
Seizures. Mm-hmm. Sudden seizures that never happened previous to the vaccine. Excruciating chronic pain.
So we look at this dynamic, Amy, and we both have borne witness to it.
Yeah.
His eyesight, most of it, but he still lost one of his cranial nerves.
So Shannon was just commenting, Amy, that our son never fully recovered from that event, that he still has neurological deficits, that in your experience and in ours, the medical community is not willing to consider the possibility there can be an association. And that becomes a real barrier.
They're disregarding it. Yeah, they're disregarding it. And I kind of use the term a vaccine religion. I feel like they are so dedicated and so focused on vaccines being so safe and effective that instead of taking a step back and acknowledging that there is a risk, and right, it might not be that big of a risk, but when it happens, we need to not dismiss. Yeah. These people.
Well, you know, and the other thing, and that's a great point, Amy, is that we should not dismiss patients ever. We should not dismiss their symptoms or their instincts regarding association. And you're right, there's a dogma out there that if you don't think like we think, then you're wrong. More than wrong, you might be dangerous. And there's a fear in the medical community of adverse consequence because it doesn't take a lot to take away a doctor's freedom of speech. The same dogmatic powers that force the immunization on us, Amy, can also force doctors into silence. You know, it's been said that if everybody's thinking the same, then nobody's thinking. And when it comes to immunizations, people have ceased thinking. Some doctors have, and so have some folks. There's a difference. Not all immunizations are created equally. But this particular immunization and the manner in which it's being forced upon us draw great scrutiny and question. We're going to be talking, too, when we come back. We do have to take another break in a minute, Amy. I thank you for your patience.
No problem.
We'd like to know what you're doing and what we can do and what Rhode Islanders can do to take back their freedom. Hey, if you're thinking, hey, this doesn't affect me, I don't have a child in seventh grade, you know, think again. This is just the creeping edge of the power of bureaucracies to take away your freedom and to mandate things upon you. You know, the Department of Health is not restricted to mandating only to children. They just happen to be a little bit more vulnerable. You know, they can mandate to adults. I mean, how would you like it if they forced you to take a drug? And the consequence of it would be loss of occupation, loss of income. Oh, we're not really taking your freedom away. We're just telling you that you have to take this drug, and if you don't, bad things will happen. That's kind of where we are with the HPV. And I'm also going to want to know, Amy, when we come back, what happens if somebody does not have a religious exemption or a reason to take it religiously, but just doesn't want the damn thing? So stay with us, folks. We're talking about intellectual medicine. I'm Dr. Pederuti. We'll be right back.
Now, back to intellectual medicine with Dr. Pederuti. Call in now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
All right, folks, I'm back. This is Dr. Pederuti. We have Amy on the line from the No HPV Rhode Island. And to summarize our conversation, Rhode Island has made it a requirement for children to get a shot called the HPV immunization intended to protect women against cervical cancer. It is of questionable merit. Certainly boys don't get cervical cancer, and yet this has been a mandate. Amy and other like-minded citizens are fighting against the requirement. Certainly the immunization itself has questionable merit, but the idea that it's being forced is what we're fighting against. And Amy just enlightened us to the fact that Rhode Island received over $500,000, about a $640,000 grant in 2014 dedicated to HPV. Much of the money was rather loosely assigned. And coincidentally, it became the law of the land. You know, and you think this may not affect you because, again, you don't have a child in seventh grade. And after all, aren't immunizations good? And aren't all these people who are against immunizations just crackpots? Well, rest assured, folks, I'm a physician. My wife is a nurse. We believe in the benefit of modern healthcare, including judicious and thoughtful use of immunizations. But forcing it on people is another story. You start there, the next thing they'll do is take away your freedom of choice with regard to other aspects of your healthcare, whether it's your access to supplements or bioidentical hormones. They will all be threatened next. But anyhow, I want to turn the conversation back to Amy. Amy, I have a question. Maybe you know the answer to this. Does Merck, is Merck funding any of the marketing that is happening in Rhode Island? I know there are commercials about this. Are taxpayers paying for that, or is it being subsidized by the company?
Well, technically, the taxpayers are paying for it because it's being paid for by that grant that we just mentioned, and the grant came from the federal government, so it is taxpayer money.
Is there any corporate money behind the grant to the federal government?
Well, there is as far as lobbying at the congressional level and that respect, but the just donating directly into it from Merck, if there is, there is not a direct paper trail.
Okay. And is Merck lobbying the state of Rhode Island, or did they lobby the Department of Health of the state of Rhode Island to try to get this through?
If they lobbied the Department of Health, there's no way for me to track that because they're not public elected officials that have to be reporting the same way.
Oh, really? So, in other words, Merck could be, taking the Department of Health out to lunch. They could be having conversations with them, but the Department of Health, because they're not elected, they're not required to report any of it.
Yeah, they're not elected officials, so they don't have the same form.
Wow. That is scary. So because they're not elected officials, not only can they dictate policy, but they can, in essence, take money and have influence peddled toward them without being accountable for it. Is that the case?
They could be. I cannot confirm that they can take the money. I don't know that they can do that.
Right. Just for clarity, we have no proof that they actually took money or had any contact with corporate officials. However, we have no way to determine whether or not that occurred. They are not required to report anything. I think that's an accurate summary, wouldn't you say, Amy?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not accusing of nefarious activity, but it certainly is not transparent. And it certainly is not something that the citizens have access to. And it's not something citizens can comment upon. And you can't vote people out of office. They are just put there. That's what we're up against. Now, where does the no HPV mandate stand? How are you doing in trying to get this reversed?
Well, there was 5 bills that were introduced in 2016, 3 on the House side and 2 on the Senate side. They were all held for further study, so we will be getting them to come back for the 2017 session.
Well, hang with us, Amy. We do need to take another break. And Chris, hang with us. We'll give you a couple of minutes when we get back. I'm Dr. Pedrudi. This is Intellectual Medicine. Dr. Pedrudi, this is Intellectual Medicine, where we fight for your freedom to live 120 years, to live the kind of life you want, the type of health you want. It's all about freedom and choice. Amy, you hang with us. I'm going to take a call from Chris. Say, Chris, I'm Dr. Pedrudi. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, hi, doctor. I want to thank you so much for doing a show like this. I think it's so important for people to know issues on these vaccinations. I'm Chris Young. I'm running for Congress in Rhode Island. And I opposed, and I still oppose, mandating vaccinations because vaccines don't always confer, you know, they don't give you an immunity. You know, vaccines, you know, they fail in outbreaks in vaccinated populations. You know, there are other issues like vaccines can maim you and paralyze you.
You know, Chris, I wish you well in your pursuit of office. And I want to thank you for calling in and bringing up a detail about immunizations. And that is, you're right. They don't always work. Sometimes they fail. And sometimes they have side effects. And we've talked about some today. First-hand accounts witnessed by me, by my wife. Other people can validate that. And Amy has validated that as well. You know, and that would be okay, Chris, if we were educated and it were a free choice. For the state to mandate an immunization, as I said at the outset of my show, there needs to be a high bar. there's got to be Ebola sweeping the nation. It's got to be a matter of life and death to children that's going to blitz through a classroom before you go running in there with the needles. So I do want to give Amy a little more time, Chris, but thanks for calling in. That's Chris Young, and Chris will be part of the No HP mandate movement. Amy, tell us where it stands. We only have a couple of minutes left. Tell us where it stands and how we can support it.
Sure. Well, there is the Facebook page, the @ RI against HPV mandate, and Twitter at My Rights RI to connect with us. And then you can find our petition. You can find everything at nohpvmandateri.com.
nohpvmandaterhodeisland.com, folks, is where you can go to find the petition, the Facebook page. What was that Facebook page again, Shan?
It's the Rhode Island Against Mandated HPV Vaccine, or on Twitter, it's at My Rights Rhode Island, RI.
Now, Amy, have you gotten a grant yet from Merck? Are they helping to fund this effort?
No. We're actually collecting donations to try to help share the awareness and informed consent and share the information that.
Good for you. Listen, Amy, folks, if you're listening, write her a check. Let's fund this. We got to fight corporate overreach, and we've got to fight government mandate and the loss of our freedom. Is there anything happening at the state legislature as we speak?
As we speak about this topic, no. Other than there is still talk, and I do, and over this much time, I have had lots of legislators agree. So the good thing is we have a lot of people on our side.
We need you, folks. We need the citizenry to be educated and aware. Amy, thank you for your effort in sharing this time with us. Intellectual medicine means freedom. I'm Dr. Steve Pederuti with Shannon at the Pederuti Center in Rhode Island with Nick behind the glass. Thanks a lot, Nick. Coming up next, the big blue bug on the horizon, Tony DeJesus. Thanks a lot, guys.